The committee of the whole will come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 130. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 130 from Senator Burns, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery, requiring a report to the Joint Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources Interim Committee and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, in Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 130 engrossed, Lottery Commission reporting requirements, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Kennedy, Edmonds, Gay, Kasparic, Larson, Summers, and Walters. One no vote, Representative Lockhart, signed by Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Lockhart, Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Madam Chairman. I bring you Senate File number 130, and it does have an amendment in it, and I'm going to turn the amendment and the explanation of the bill over to the good legislator from House District 5.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to bring you the Lottery Commission reporting bill and move the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 113, and if you will indulge me, I'll explain the bill and the amendment at the same time. What we're doing here is just giving the Lottery Commission a home committee to report to, and we are eliminating a report to the Joint Revenue Interim Committee. So on page 1, after committee, we're inserting eliminating a report to the Joint Revenue Interim Committee. And on page 2, line 5, we're striking the Joint Revenue Interim Committee. And so they will just be reporting to the Joint Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources Interim Committee. And with that, I would stand for any questions or call for the question. I was calling for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment, and then we can vote on the bill. So,
all those in favor of Amendment 1, Standing House Bill Amendment to Senate File 30, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment has it's been adopted. Back on the bill. Question? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 130 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47 from Senator Case, an act relating to cities and towns, amending a city engineer's duty to provide cost estimates as specified and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, the Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 47, City Engineer's Duty to Estimate Project Cost, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Swanitzer. Signed by Dan Swanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Swaniker.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report it. Do so with the recommendation that Senate File 47 do pass, and I would turn over the explanation of a very complicated bill to the good representative from Lander.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And, folks, this bill comes to us after some keen eyes from our newly elected mayor in my hometown was reviewing the statutes and came across this issue concerning the city engineer, where it says, before the governing body makes any contract for any work or improvement exceeding $200, the city engineer shall submit to the governing body an estimate of the cost thereof. And we recognize that's archaic and out-of-date language. You can't buy a couple of joints of PVC pipe for a couple hundred dollars. And so we are recommending that we just strike that language let the city engineer work under the guidelines of their city ordinances adopted by the various municipalities. And folks, to help, as the good chairman mentioned, the complexity of this bill, I've provided for you yesterday a graph. I went to a Norwegian graph master and asked for some help on this, and so you might pull that chart out, and if you'll look at this chart, it'll help you to understand how this bill is beneficial to you. Now, if you come horizontally across this graph, you're going to see there that when you hit that apex, it really doesn't matter which side of this issue you're on. If you vote up, you're going to be happy. And if you vote against it, it's just going to be miserable. So I hope that has helped you understand. I've wanted to do a chart all these years, and I think that this has been the opportunity, and I hope that it's helped you to understand this bill clearer. And Madam Chairman, if there's, I would stand for questions.
All those in favor of Senate File 47, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Pass the Committee of the Whole. Yay.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like to move speedily up Senate File 95. Speed limits as our next bill for consideration on general file. So please insert that before Senate File 124. Happily, we will now hear speed limits, Senate File 95.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 95. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 95 from Senator Coe, an act relating to operation of motor vehicles, authorizing establishment of a higher speed limit on state highways as specified, amending penalties for violations of speed limits on interstate highways, authorizing a study, requiring a report, providing an appropriation, and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 95 engrossed speed limits, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Laux, Reeder, Walters, and Daves Wanitzer. Those who voted no, Representatives Campbell, Kennedy, and Eklund, signed by Representative Daves, Wanitzer, Chairman, further reviewed by your committee number 2, Appropriations, who respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Conley, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stepson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Of the pleasure, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 95 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendments. And Madam Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and do Standing Committee Amendment number 1, and what the committee did on that one. There is also a second Standing Committee Amendment from the Appropriations Committee, but we're going down to pick up somebody from appropriations. But what Standing Committee Number 1 does out of our committee, it just said that we wanted to have them include, if needed, the fact that variable speed limit signs would be applied. And those aren't necessarily the electronic ones. Sometimes they are flip ones. And the reason we put that in, the testimony was some roads you would be able to drive the faster speed limits in the winter. But when the summer came and there's all kinds of tourists coming through the state, then they would want to put them back down to 65. So if that was one of the cases, we just asked that they would include it in the study. And with that, I would ask for an aye vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? The Standing Committee Number 1 has been adopted. We are back, or we're going to go to Committee of the Whole. You want to go back on the bill? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We will hold off a little bit on the second Standing Committee Amendment till we get a member of Appropriations. So to speed up the process, we're going to turn it over to Representative Crone to explain the bill, and then after he explains the bill, I think at that time the second Standing Committee Amendment would be appropriate.
Representative Crone?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I see that the Appropriations Chair is here, so maybe we could deal with that Standing Committee Number 2.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 95, and we deleted the appropriation of $180,000 and all of Section 3. And, Madam Chair, and I apologize, members, we were down working a very important bill, and our committee just overran, and so we're a little late to the floor, so I apologize. But here's why, I guess. Your Appropriations Committee, we see these all the time, and I call them, you know, you look at the fiscal note on this bill, and I think, what was it? It was $1.1 million or some number for studies, if I can find that. I don't have it on this engrossed copy, but it's over $1 million, the original fiscal note. And I call that, and I think our in appropriations we call that death by fiscal note. And I just am not, our committee says we just don't buy that. It's going to take $180,000 to go around and take a little sign this big that has a 7-0 on it and put six screws in it over the top of the one that has 6-5. We're just not buying that. And so they have a $1.2 billion budget per year. And I just think I support this bill. I think your Appropriations Committee supports this bill. Much of the language of a House bill that went through here very successfully, it was amended into this bill. I think it's a good bill. I just drove highway, I think it's 28, State Highway 28 over South Pass, across Sublet, across part of our, and you've got those beautiful signs talking about antelope entering the highway at 55 miles an hour. Now I'm driving down that road at 65 thinking, I think I could see Utah on that road or something, or close to it. I mean, I could see a long ways. And I'm just thinking, goodness gracious, I don't think that needs a big study or a big old appropriation to go figure that one out. That's a no-brainer. And that's what really this bill is talking about. There's some stretches in Wyoming we've all driven on that we go, why is this 65? And so strong support of the bill. We do not think it needs the appropriation to be successful. So hope you'd vote for the Standing Committee Amendment Number 2. Thank you.
Representative Larson. Question? Representative Gagey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If he gets through talking so we can hear the question. My question is going to be, and I agree with what our good chairman said, but he's not hearing anyway. Maybe Representative Crone, you can answer this, or someone. providing the appropriation, I agree that they have enough money to do this, and so I agree with the amendment. Is there anything to make them want to do this? Can we try to encourage them to move this along without this appropriation?
Chairman Harshman?
I appreciate the question. And that brings up an interesting question. I suppose there's death by fiscal note and then death by removal of appropriations from, I guess you could, but really the way we adopted this bill and all these, the 80 mile an hour last year, is the superintendent will decide which roads are eligible. It wouldn't be us, unless we had to, we felt, in the future, but I think they understand our intent is to, on these highways, I think, and I'm not the sponsor of the bill, but I think that's how I see it, and I think the department was very responsive on the 80-mile-an-hour speed limit, went out and identified those stretches, happened very quickly. And I would assume this would be the same case with these 65s to 70. Thank you.
Question having been called on standing committee rule or amendment number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Standing rule number 2 to Senate file number 95 has been adopted. And we're back on the bill. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For a speed limit increase bill, we've hit a few road bumps along the way. But I appreciate the majority floor leader moving this bill up, because I do have to be gone for a portion of the afternoon. So back on the bill, it's a very straightforward bill. Some of you members would remember last session we passed a bill that allowed the department to have discretion on interstate highways to raise the speed limit from 75 to 80. This bill does the same thing for state highways. So it allows for, at the discretion of the department, in those areas that they deem it's reasonable and prudent, to lift the speed limit from 65 to 70. And as the good chairman of appropriations mentioned, the bill that we did, 181, is incorporated. The penalties are incorporated into this Senate file. So the work that we did on the penalties for speeding are included in this bill. And I just think it's a really straightforward, much-needed bill. I mean, there's areas that have been discussed previously. It makes sense to be 70 miles per hour. And so with that, and it being very straightforward, I'll take any questions.
The question having been called, Representative Madden.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would like the sponsor of this this bill to walk us through this machination has to do with the fines. I got a little confused on that earlier this session when it turns out, as I read the paper this morning, we evidently relaxed the fines on speeding above 85 miles an hour. And that wasn't how I remembered it, but that's what the paper said. And I want to know if you're doing the same thing here, because I think there's a good kind of an intuitive reason why speeding at high speeds above, you know, these high speed limits is something we should be taking into consideration in the fine schedule. So go through that and try to explain, if you could please, what you're doing to the schedule of fines.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was a no vote on this, and I have no doubt that it could be a good idea to expand the speed limit in certain places. This doesn't, I'm just not confident that they'll pick the right roads. I live on one of these two-lane state highways, and it's called the Gun Barrel. And it's straight, it's flat for Wyoming, and I'm pretty sure it might just get the speed limit raised, and we can't get off of it at 65 very safely. There are a lot of drivers that just aren't good drivers, and it could be that they wouldn't put that on because there's quite a bit of traffic on it, and I would hope not. But then in defense of the highway department, I'm still in the doghouse for voting with some of my people for on that 80-mile-an-hour deal. The highway department got, I should be careful of words, but our agency that administered those signs got them out pretty quick. They're out there, and I don't think it would take them long to do this. And I don't want to kill the bill, but I just, it doesn't build into it quite the discretion I would like to see on their part for raising speed limits, because these are two-lane highways on an interstate, usually don't have fatalities until they cross over and hit head-on, and these cars are awful close together, and well, I don't know. Maybe you raise the speed limit and you cut down on hospital bills when there's an accident, too.
Representative Krohn.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll take those questions in reverse order. I think it's probably important to note that there's 4,900 miles of two-lane highways in the state of Wyoming. And this bill does not say it's appropriate to have a 70 mile per hour on all of the highways across Wyoming. It is those highways that are determined by the department that are, it's reasonable and prudent for a 70 mile per hour limit. So, and I do understand the big difference between interstates and state highways, no question about it. But this, I think, is the appropriate amount of discretion given to the department for those. I don't think you're going to see areas all across the state that are particularly the more difficult roadways and corners and curves and mountains and everything else even being considered for this raise. So I think that there's appropriate discretion, and I think it'll be handled appropriately by the department. And to answer a question that was previously asked, how do we know that they're going to do it? I think that it's a good example of what the department's done with the interstate highways, and that did happen fast, and that did change as of because of the law that we passed last budget session. So I think it's a right balance, and I don't think we're going to see 70 mile per hour zones in dangerous areas. I don't foresee that. As to the fine and the penalties, I would just have the members look at 31.5.1201. And that's located on page 4. And then if you go to 31.18.704, that's basically the heart of House Bill 181. And I guess I would disagree that we've relaxed the penalties for speeding. I think that we've made them more appropriate. And that language is pretty clear. There were some big discrepancies that exist in state law now. So I think that language from 181 that's incorporated into the bill, once again, 31.5.1201, and 31.18.704 is really kind of a recalibration, and I think it's a more appropriate way to handle fines. So I hope that answers those questions.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we passed the 80-mile-an-hour speed limit last budget session, I went back to my district, and people immediately asked me, why did we raise the speed limit? And what I did is I talked about all the other states that had raised to 80 miles an hour and the reduction in accidents and fatalities. And every time I did that, I was waving a red flag where somebody wanted to argue with me. And so as soon as I started saying that I wanted to drive Cheyenne at least half the time at the legal speed limit, people never questioned me. And with that as kind of a litmus test, has other states raised their speed limit to 70 on these two-lane roads, and what has been the effect? Has there been any research?
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just wanted to take the opportunity, because last session I didn't get up and speak against the 80, even though I didn't like it. And I just wanted to say I didn't like that one, and I don't like this one either. And I just want to speak on behalf of the old slow people like myself that turn out onto roads, pull in trailers, and maybe we're only doing like 60 or 67, and we have a kind of a heavy load. And the faster you make every other car, the more likely it is that they're going to run up my rear end. And I just wanted to remind us of that. It's not you driving on the road. It's who else is there. So, friends, I hope this is the last of these bills we see.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just an aside, I believe it's been at least 30 years since we've had a superintendent of highways. Just as a cleanup, the title is the director. And I see several references to superintendent in here, and I assume that's what it's talking about, is the director of the highway department. Thank you.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and for the bill, and I hope the people from the metropolitan areas in the state, if we can call any of them that, the ones down here in the Front Range, can appreciate us folks that are out in the hinterlands. When I get on that certain highway that goes up over Beaver Rim and cruises through the area where the Split Rock is, it's a beautiful drive. And I'm not even paying attention. I'm just enjoying the scenery. And before you know it, you're going 85 or 90. And many, many times I've driven from my hometown to that gap that's really muddy, and I don't see one vehicle on that, if it's early enough. I've been stopped on that road before by the person that lives in the city that used to be called Home on the Range that happens to be on that road. Most here will know it if they travel that road. He stopped me once, and I was doing 75, and this was back when I think the speed limit was still 55. And he said, just slow down. And he didn't give you a ticket. Even the police and the highway patrol recognized that, back when the speed limit was 55, it was absolutely ridiculous to get on those roads. It was dangerous. If you drove 55, you'd fall asleep. Anyway, on and for the bill.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, I always drive around with a big, heavy load with me all the time. So, but I'm in favor of this bill, and there's a couple roads that this is going to apply to very soon. If you go to the county where the water's sweet, and there's a junction there where they serve ice cream, I'm sure everybody stopped there, but you go from that ice cream shop towards the South Pass area, there's nothing. And it's nice and straight until you get to a certain portion where it's more curvy as you get up at elevation, but there's portions right there that could be readily applied and could be quite quickly done. So on in favor of this bill. Thanks.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm in favor of this bill, too. I think it's a great idea. It'll greatly decrease the amount of time people spend driving back and forth, especially when you live as far away as I do. Thank you.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Eklund.
I would just, the thing that I would add is I think that it could be a useful tool for some people. And so, you kind of weigh out what's best for the state of Wyoming. And I guess if we pass this, I certainly hope that the highway department is very discretionary in where they up these speed limits. Because there are sections, and this bill will benefit me. I've got a lead foot. I'm not the old grandpa yet, but I just hope they're very cautious about where they raise these speed limits if we do pass it.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to answer a couple of those questions quickly, our neighboring state to the north has this in place now. They're 70 mile per hour on their two-lane state highways. The neighboring state to the southwest also has it. Those are in place. In terms of more accidents that are being caused, the data suggests that there has not been a change in accidents with the 80 mile per hour increase in the state of Wyoming. So that being said, I would call for the question. Thank you.
Question having been called, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 95 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 124. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 124 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to sales and use tax, requiring listing of delinquent taxpayers as specified, and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 124, engrossed sales and use tax enforcement, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Dayton, Edwards, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Reeder, and Wilson. One no vote, Representative Jennings, signed by Representative Madden, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Madden?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 124 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendments. And I will explain the bill if we're ready. First of all, the Standing Committee amendment just changes the number 180 to 150 days. That appears on line 2 and line 18 of your engrossed copy of the bill. And ladies and gentlemen, this is really a novel and ingenious idea that the sponsor of this came up with, and I kind of wish I'd been the one that thought of it. But anyway, we have, just like any big outfit, we have certain amounts of people that are delinquent in paying their taxes, okay? And the way of enforcing excise taxes is much different than it is for sales or for property taxes. We have a pretty good hammer when it comes to that, because we'll have tax sales, and the next thing you know, if you ignore it too long, you'll lose your property. But what this is, if you look at it in terms of dollars, it was reported to us, I think, somewhere between $20 and $30 million are delinquent at any given time, and it's a floating number that just keeps going. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but it only represents around 2% of the entire taxpayer population. And what this does, the only thing different, it adds another little tool in here where if a person is more than now 150 days or more delinquent on taxes due and has not entered into a formal arrangement with the department after 30 days, a payment arrangement, after 30 days notice, then the department will be posting the list of the people who are delinquent on their webpage or on the internet. And the testimony we heard is that is a good deterrent to an encouragement to pay your taxes on time, because people don't want their names on the internet as a delinquent taxpayer, or I should say excise taxpayer. There's two sections of it, one's for the sales tax, one's for the use tax, and they're identical. And if there's no questions, I would call for the question.
Chairman Madden, don't we have to move the amendment first?
Oh, did we vote on it?
We haven't voted on the amendment yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought. Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
All those.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
We've adopted standing.
Mike.
Okay, guys, we'll try this one more time. Amendment number 1 has been adopted, and we're back on the bill. All those in favor of Senate File 124, say aye. Senate File 124 has been adopted. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 100. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 100 from Senator Esquivel, an act relating to the Controlled Substances Prescription Tracking Program, amending the time frame for reporting prescriptions of controlled substances as specified, revealing the sunsetted pilot program, and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 100, engrossed Prescription Drug Monitoring Program Amendments, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Larson. Excuse me, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 100 do pass. And for explanation of the bill, Representative Pinnell.
Representative Pinnell.
Madam Chair, thank you. This bill, it's changing some of the requirement of it, basically. So it's changing it from a 7-day period back to a 24-hour period to report to a database. This will make the information more current. The effective date was amended in the Senate to January 1, 2016, to give pharmacies time to make changes in their software that they have. Many states already require a 24-hour reporting system, so the software companies and corporate pharmacies will be able to do this fairly easily, and some of them actually already do that within the state here. Allowing this request has come from physicians, nurse practitioners, and pharmacists. The program will be used more often if folks that can assist in getting the reports to pharmacists and prescribers to review from taking it back from a 7-day period where to a 24-hour period. The rules process will be used for specifics on who can and can be appointed. There is no change for law enforcement or regulatory boards. They will continue to get information from the Board of Pharmacy Office. So, and also this repeals of 35-7-1061 1061062 is appropriate because the database is online and the pilot program that statute talks about, it will no longer be needed. So if there's any questions, The bill is pretty straightforward. If there are any questions, I'd take some.
Representative Baldwin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman. I stand in strong support of this bill. As a user of this program, I will tell you that 7 days is not nearly quick enough. In the location where I live, it's not unusual for somebody to come from the state to our west who abuses narcotics there and goes to what's termed in the bill as doctor shopping. And if the current program is used, and they come here to the capital city or somewhere else in another state, often that their prescription does not show up when I search for it. The 24-hour will be a huge, huge benefit to all practitioners in the state of Wyoming to help curb the problem of narcotic abuse and narcotic overuse and addictive substance abuse right now, which is just a tremendous problem. And I would stand in strong support of this bill, as it's a very effective tool for us to help fight that problem.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Bill Number 100 pass, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 100 has passed Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for consideration is Senate File 11. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 11 from Senator Christensen, an act relating to junk dealers requiring photo identification and vehicle license plate number to be recorded by junk dealers, providing an exception and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, the Committee Number 1 Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 11 and Gross, selling to junk dealers ID required, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobel, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Miller?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 11 do pass. And for explanation of the bill, we have Representative Croker.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senate File 11 is a very simple bill. It does two things. The first one, for junk dealers, or think about the like metal recycling places is who this is talking about, they are required to keep a logbook of all the transactions that they do. And the first thing this bill does is it just authorizes them to use a computer program to keep their log instead of having to handwrite it in ink, basically just making it updated with modern technology. And then the second thing is anyone who comes in to sell more than $50 worth of scrap, they are required to include in their log the person's identification or license plate number. And the reason for this is there's been a growing amount of crime where people are, you know, breaking into new housing developments and cutting the copper pipes out of the walls, or breaking into expensive pieces of equipment to rip all the wiring out to take it and sell it for scrap. So it can be a lot more serious crime. You don't think of $50 as much, but $50 worth of copper pipe might have been $10,000 worth of damage to the house that they stole it out of. So it just allows a little bit of tracking. So if the police are tracking down some of these thefts, they have a better chance of figuring out who the culprits are. If there's any questions, I'll stand for.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I rise in support of this bill. There's been people who steal the copper from the railroad tracks next to it and messes with the signals, which could cause a catastrophe. So we need to identify these people who are doing this illegally. So on and support. Thanks.
Representative Summers.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I just have a question. I understand the issue of selling, but the issue of buying is the one I'm kind of wondering about. So if I go to a junk dealer and want to buy a alternator off a pickup, I got to provide a photo, a photocopy of my ID, photo ID. So I'm just curious if that's true, if I just read it wrong, if it's only for selling, or if it includes buying, and why buying was included.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just want to make sure this isn't some junk thing that come over from the other side of the house. And when I look there on page 2 under Roman 4, and they want a photo, it just rankles me when I go someplace and they want a copy of my driver's license, and they want to keep that copy of my driver's license with my, with all my ID stuff on there, but yet we're requiring that to them. And so my question here on Romanant 5 is what are they doing with those copies? Is there any protection in there to make sure that information of mine they got is going to be secure, or is this a piece of the bill that we ought to scrap?
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was also reading underneath page 2, line 20. It says compliance with the paragraphs of this section is optional for 1 and or for 3 and 4. And if we're trying to enforce this, why would you make it optional for under $50? That's the wire that just got picked up off the railroad. So I don't understand that portion of it. And also, I'd like a definition on what common household and personal items are. I don't think my suit's recyclable.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess I just
The concern I have with it is the requiring of handing over your ID and your information along with that. I mean, recognizing that there is a problem and a growing problem with this type of vandalism slash theft. I guess my question is how did this necessarily aid in capturing the people that are committing the crime where, sure, you might have the seller's ID on hand, but how are we to know necessarily how that's going to help solve the crime on the chance that nobody saw who committed this in the first place?
Representative Paulino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As far as the ID, you know, I know that you in a lot of places you got to go in and show an ID but basically you would have to show a proper ID, which would be a picture ID, or they can get their license plate off the vehicle that may come in there. As far as the records, you know, I can't answer that. I'm sure that, you know, there's always controls that they're supposed to use that these businesses do that they can't give that information out. And then on another question about the $50. Now, the reason that I know that the $50 was put in place was that folks go in and they sell your aluminum pop cans, things of that nature, those type of deals. That's what they were. The reason for the dollar amount was put at $50. They and obviously $50. That's a lot of pop cans. I know it could be placed at a little less maybe, but we could work on that on amendments. The bill itself is good because there is a growing problem of theft of copper wire. There's a problem of aluminum, big items like that. So there is a growing problem. So the bill itself is good. We may be able to work on some amendments to tighten up the concerns on the ID and things of that nature. But I would urge you to vote yes on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Another interesting point I might bring up is on page 2, Romanet 4. I'm not sure what the definition of state-issued photo ID is, if that's just U.S. states. It should probably also accommodate for foreign national IDs, and there should also be something about those persons that either don't have any ID or refuse to show it. We could have illegal aliens or people that are simply refusing to show an ID, and that should probably also be noted if the purpose of this is to help catch criminals.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm going to echo the same questions with a twist brought up by our majority whip. For what purpose are we enacting this? Let's take the copper from the railroad. The railroad reports the copper is stolen. The investigators go to the pawn shop and found that John Smith just brought in a bunch of copper. Well, maybe John Smith just disassembled his old air conditioning condenser and brought in the copper. Is John Smith implicated in this somehow? And subject to arrest or investigation. For what purpose are we doing this, and who are the innocent sellers that can get caught up?
Do you want to answer? Okay. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll try and answer a few of the questions that are here. The question asked about selling or buying and why buying was included. That's actually the current language that's in the statute, so we're not making any changes there. So that didn't actually come up in the committee. If you wanted to run an amendment, I don't know that that we would have an issue with that. If somebody wants to run an amendment to make sure that the IDs, the copies of the IDs are kept secure, I think that would be considered a very friendly amendment. The question about why is it optional? It's only optional if it's less than $50. The idea was that there had to be some level, so the person that's coming in and selling $3 worth of aluminum cans isn't required to show ID. That was the $50, and so that was why it was optional for amounts less than that. And as far as what is the purpose, well, it would just allow for a trail. If the railroad, for example, since that example was used, reported a crime of stolen copper, they would have a description of the copper. So when the police are investigating it, they're going to go around to the junk dealers. If one of them bought copper, they would look and see if the copper that was bought was indeed what was stolen from the railroad. And if it was, then they would have a record of the person who sold it to them. So that's how this works. It would be investigated as any other crime is investigated. It just, when they find that stolen scrap at the dealer who sold it, it just gives them a record of who we bought it from, so the police can chase down that lead.
Representative Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representatives, I'm just wondering now, if I cut this great big old box out of my 5 acres and I collect part of its aluminum and part of its copper, and when it gets real full, I have my neighbor come over with this front-end loader and I put it in the back of my one-ton truck. How is this going to affect me? It's more than $50. Do we have to have control over every little aspect of everybody's life? Thank you. Against the bill.
Representative Summers.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I just went in the back and talked to the lawyers because I began to read this and I couldn't really understand it the way it flows. And so if you actually read it and look at subsection A, right? And then we flip over and there's Romanets 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are subsections basically of subsection A. And originally, in the original draft, you'll notice, you know, before these changes occurred, Romanet I, you had in there actually in statute an accurate account and description of all junk metal or rubber goods purchased and sold, and then it says, and the name and the residence of the person. So now it's, if you read how it goes, it's Romanet I, Romanet 2, Romanet 3, and or Romanet 4. So it makes all of those Romanets ors. So if you satisfy one, you satisfy the condition required under subsection A. And so there's been a drafting, I think, snafu, at least in my opinion. I guess what I'm asking the bringer of the bill, is there perhaps a snafu in the drafting, and really all that was supposed to be the or, perhaps, was the license plate number of the vehicle or a photocopy of the person's ID. So I'm just curious of how that should have went.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To answer that last question, I actually think you're correct. This was brought by a senator. There was no House member on it, so I wasn't involved with this until committee. But the way it was explained to us in committee, that or was supposed to be between 3 and 4. So you're exactly right. So I think we'll probably need an amendment to clean that up. If you want to draft one, I think that would be appreciated.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just one small quick question for the presenter. Was the majority of testimony given on this topic, did it have to do with the stealing of copper from industrial sites? And if so, if that is the majority of the issue that's going on here, industry's already started to handle this situation by doing laser imprints on their copper underneath the insulation so that when that product is turned over at a scrapyard, it is immediately traceable. So I was just wondering, is that the large share of this?
Representative Polno.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Kind of in answer to the last speaker's question there, no, it's not just the industrial folks that have the copper wire and things of that nature. It's also being brought from the your simple folks that are your construction people that are building houses and things of that nature, where they'll show up and after leaving the construction site for the night, come back and find that the place has been totally gutted and a lot of property stolen. Those items are not identifiable as far as numbers or anything like that. As far as people taking items into the to the dealers or to the junk dealers, they're if it's their own personal property, they're not, nothing's going to happen. I mean, and a lot of times, you know, personally, I've sold stuff at the junk dealer, because a lot of these places now do require ID. They request that when you go in there. If I want to sell it to them, I've usually got to show my ID. So a lot of this, in what's in this bill, is already currently being done by the junk dealers. So hopefully I answered some of the questions, but I'm on and for the bill. I think it's a good bill. Needs a little tweaking, sounds like, but I think we need to pass it. Thank you.
Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One of the other issues that was brought to the committee also was the stripping out of copper out of large air conditioner units, where they might have got more than $50 for the copper, but the replacement and the maintenance that had to be done and repaired to the air conditioner units was in the thousands of dollars. And some of these were on top of nursing homes, assisted living centers, hospitals, and some of these hot afternoons, you know, they were waiting 1 or 2 weeks to replace an air conditioner because thieves were up on the roof for the night before, and there was really only the best way to catch them was to follow the trail. And this type of copper, if we're looking at tubes or you're looking at strips like what's on the railroad, you're finding lots of the same type of copper. It's not like a box that someone throws in a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's large quantities of the exact same type of metal. So it's a good way to catch the criminals that are stealing it and causing a lot of high-dollar vandalism.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. One final thing I would add is this, I would like to point out that this actually reduces some of the requirements for the average person going in to sell things, because under current law, the dealer is required to make the transaction, record the material that was bought, and record the name and residence of the person who was selling it to them, and that's on every single transaction. What we're saying is if it's over $50, we're also going to require him to show an ID, but if it's under $50, he doesn't even have to get that personal information from him at all. So I don't know if that alleviates any of the concerns for the average person going in to sell things, but it will actually reduce the requirements on them. And I don't see any more questions, so I'll call for the question.
Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill number, that Senate file number 11 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair is in doubt. My hearing, I guess. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Senate File 11 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you. Members of the 63rd, it's a special day in Wyoming for a couple of reasons. As I'm sure all of you know, today is the 169th birthday of William F. Buffalo Bill Cody, and I know you probably are all thinking about what you can do to celebrate that. But the second thing is I've got some great constituents that are in town and for various arts events that are going on. Of course, Cody is so fortunate to have such a great art community. And so down from Cody today are members of the Harry Jackson Studios. So we've got Harry's son, Matt Jackson, Jeff Mummery, and Doug Hart. So please give him a big welcome to the House of Representatives.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 134. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 134 from Senator Hicks, an act relating to wildlife and livestock, providing for adoption of a statewide bighorn domestic sheep plan, authorizing modification of the plan as specified, authorizing removal or relocation of bighorn sheep as specified, providing for the reimbursement of costs for removal of sheep as specified, providing rulemaking authority, and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your committee number 6, Tribal Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom we referred Senate File 134 engrossed Bighorn Sheep Plan, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Klim, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petroff, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Barlow, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Representative Barlow?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rises to report. It do so with the recommendation that Senate File 134 do pass. And I further move the adoption of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 134. And, Madam Chairman, I would turn over the explanation of the bill and then continue with the movement of the Standing Committee Amendment to the fine Representative Eklund.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What we have here is a bill that kind of mirrors what we did a couple years ago. We went through a fairly painful bill. This one here is meant to address the problem that we have with a fairly comprehensive bill. And the first sentence in the bill says, an act relating to wildlife and livestock providing for the adoption of the statewide bighorn domestic sheep plan. Let me explain the goal of the plan and the players that are involved. The goal of the Wyoming Bighorn Domestic Sheep Interaction Working Group is to maintain healthy bighorn sheep populations while sustaining an economically viable sheep industry in Wyoming. When we did the other bill, we focused in on the removal of bighorn sheep from territories as a way of protecting our other industry, which are the wool growers and sheep producers. This plan has been worked on for 14 years by a large group of people, and it's nobody's goal to do any of that. We want our sheep producers to be able to manage these forest allotments as they've done for years. We want the bighorn sheep to be left alone. We don't want them removed. That's the last thing in the world that we're trying to accomplish with this. But there is a plan in place, and it was put in place by this group of people to address a problem that they knew was imminent and they needed to deal with, and that would be an interaction of these animals could cause disease in the wildlife populations, the bighorn populations. So kind of came to a head here a couple years ago when a decision was made it would be the state to the north and a little ways west of us. They made a decision that was very abrupt, very final, that all of the domestic sheep allotments would be removed within a certain radius of bighorn herds, flocks that were in that region. It shut down 70 allotments and changed the whole economy and the whole lifestyle of families who had been operating there for a century. And the settlement was done behind closed doors, and it wasn't at all the way we like to do business here. What I love about this bill, or about this plan, is that they've had 14 years to bring everybody to the table. That's hard to do. Usually we come with a bill and we always miss somebody who's not happy with what we're doing. But I think we have everybody on the same page with this. Even the far left wildlife groups that were adamantly against what we did were at least lukewarm in favor of this. Because they've been working with the plan for a long time. They've got some tools that they've enacted. For instance, changing sheep allotments to cattle allotments in certain key areas, especially around core bighorn sheep herds. But it also would allow for removal of non-essential herds. These are usually herds that are transplanted in and not doing well. The habitat just isn't what it needs to be in order for the sheep to the bighorn sheep to thrive. And anyway, I'm gonna the part I'm going the amendment removes a may and says a shall, that if there is action taken and we do have to remove animals from the we have to remove bighorn sheep from the area they're in, that the Forest Service would be or that our game and fish would be compensated for this removal. And so that's all that amendment does, and I would ask for your vote on that amendment now, Madam Chairman.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment 1 to Senate File 134, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill.
One of the goals of the group, and I think a goal of the state legislature, is to have the decisions for our resources managed by the state of Wyoming. These bighorn sheep belong to the state of Wyoming, and the domestic sheep is a viable industry that also belongs to the state of Wyoming, and we need to protect both of them. We have the agency that manages our force, Division 2, really supports what we've done, and they've been on board. There's another region, and part of our forest is managed by that region, and we're not able to get them to the table, and we'll have a bill in a little bit that'll discuss that. But this bill would try to help along the process of management rather than abrupt court decisions that affect the people of Wyoming. And I think what I do now is stand for questions.
Representative Summers.
Madam Chairman, thank you. I stand on in favor of this bill. You know, one complaint, we hear oftentimes from the federal government on different wildlife plans is that there's not adequate regulatory mechanisms in place to support your policies. And so we've heard that with the wolf we've heard that at times with sage grouse, different things. And so what this does is put in statute a plan that's been worked on for a long period of time by everybody involved in the bighorn sheep issue. These are things they've all agreed to. The supporters of both sides, supporters of wild sheep, supporters of domestic sheep. I served on that committee in its very origins. I haven't for a long time, but I do stand on in support of that. The other thing that I want to raise now, just because it just makes me madder than a hornet, on this, and I can say their name because they're in one of these documents, and that's the land management agency that takes care of our trees, and what Region 4 has done is basically taken the sensitive species issue to the next level, and really, in my opinion, usurped Wyoming's rights to wildlife, to manage their wildlife. And this is part of it. This bighorn sheep issue, bighorn sheep are not a sensitive species. You know, they're not like sage grouse or some of the others that are being laid out there. And they've done this with bighorn sheep. They've done it with boreal toad. They've done it with spotted frog, sage grouse, a number of issues to drive population management. I'm not just talking about habitat management, but to actually provide policy on population management. And somehow we need to push back against this. And I see it all the time. You know, I'm not a sheep producer, but as a cattle producer, I see it all the time on the forest. It's going to affect recreational users in the end. So what this does is just put in place those necessary regulatory mechanisms so that can't be used as an excuse that Wyoming's not providing for this management of this species. So I would urge you to support this bill.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just a quick question on Section B on page 2, where it talks about the rules and regulations necessary to administer this article being, and I've never seen this before, I don't think, that they're jointly promulgated by Game and Fish, Board of Ag, and Livestock Board. Then it talks about if there's recommendations for changes to the plan or revisions, then they need to be considered by those three groups. But there's nothing that says who makes the final call. And if you get in a situation where you have Game and Fish and the Board of Agriculture butting heads on exactly how this should work, how has that been handled in the past, or has there been any discussion about that? I could see a recipe under this, the bill as it's currently written, that you have them in loggerheads and nothing gets done.
Representative Swanaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to add on to the last speaker's comments about the cost of what this might take if it did all go to heck, what kind of a fiscal, there's no fiscal note on this bill, and if we're starting to have to move some herds and that cost goes on someone, and I just want to know if there's any testimony or foresight on what could potentially happen and what type of administrative or fiscal costs the state could be facing.
Representative Summers.
Madam Chairman, thank you, and to the good speaker pro tem's question. I'm not completely sure how this would occur, but I do know that there was a, when I served on the livestock board, it's mentioned in here, so I can say that, and the good representative from the other side of the state, we're trying to throw our heads together, but there was a domestic disease, there's a disease issue between, there is joint promulgation of rule on wildlife, livestock disease issues as it related to funding for something, and I can't remember, but I do know that they can do joint rule promulgation between two agencies. I have not seen it between three.
Representative Eklund.
Well, I'll try to answer the last question first on the cost. We're going to have a bill after this coming up that deals with that possibility, and that cost is almost $40,000. I think it's $38,500 or somewhere in that range to remove them. And I think that's the high end of the cost. There are different ways of removing them, and we're not sure how that would be done. I guess I could address that a little bit. Relocation, according to our wildlife people, is a difficult thing to do because we have herds that are non-essential herds that were transplanted into areas, and they're not doing very well. If they weren't native herds, that habitat isn't very good. It might be rough enough so that the predators can't get them, but as a result of that roughness or whatever, they don't have any winter range, and then they starve to death. Or they have to get out of that rough habitat and get out where they can find feed, and then the predators get them. So it's just a no-win deal for a lot of them, and they kind of languish along. Concerning the change in the plan, what it's talking about is the collaborative plan is this same working group, and it evolves. It's a constantly moving, evolving plan. Thus far, it's been collaborative. I'm not sure who'd be the tiebreaker on it, but I do think that these agencies could work things out, because what's important to remember is this is management of Wyoming industry and property, and it needs to be managed by Wyoming agencies and people. And I hope I answered those questions. I'd stand for more if there are any.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think we ought to dispense with Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Senate File 134. Ladies and gentlemen, this first one, the page 2, line 10, was just some cleanup. There was just a little, you'll see by the language, just some reorganization. Oh, you did?
My apologies. Okay. Question being called on Senate File 14. All those in favor of Representative Barlow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation. No? We did the amendment, yes, and he apologized for that. And the question was asked. Four, yes. Was the question was called, right? Yes. Okay, the question being called on Senate File 134, all those in favor of Representative Barlow's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that it do pass. All those in favor, say aye. Opposed? Senate File 134 has passed. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 133. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 133 from Senator Cooper, an act relating to game and fish, providing an appropriation directing the removal or relocation of bighorn sheep as specified and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 133 engrossed bighorn sheep relocation, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Clem, Freeman, Kirkbride, Larson, Petrov, Schwartz, and Steinmetz, signed by Representative Barlow, Vice Chairman, and further reviewed by your committee number 2, Appropriations, who respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Connolly, Harshman, Muniz, and Stubson. Those who voted no, Representatives Burkhardt, Greer, and Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Vice Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 133 do pass. And I move and will dispense with immediately Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, which, ladies and gentlemen, is all of one punctuation mark. So, with that, I call for the question on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1.
The question having been called on Standing Committee Number 1, Amendment Number 1, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. Back on the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would turn the explanation of the bill over to Chairman McKim. Thank you.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bring you Senate File 133, and just by, you've heard a lot about this bill, according to what's been going on with the last bill. Let me just kind of give you the premises of why this bill is necessary. At this point, in my county that I live in, we have a herd of bighorn sheep. They are in conflict, not conflict, but there is a questionable rights about grazing rights and so forth, and about diseases being transmitted from the domestic sheep to the wild bighorn sheep. And the only reason this comes up is that the area that I live in and the county east of me is in a different district than most of the rest of the state. Most of the rest of the state is in District 2, which is operated out of the state to the south of us, but this one is in District 4, which is operated by the Beehive State. And they have a different model of taking care of things, and this particular model that they've used before requires a 15-mile buffer zone between bighorn sheep and domestic sheep. Now, when they implemented this particular model in one area, it actually took the grazing rights away from domestic sheep. Now, these sheep had been there before the bighorn sheep, by the way. And these grazing rights were enforced before the bighorn sheep were introduced. So this bill, then, is to simply put in place a plan to counteract that type of reaction until they fully adopt the Wyoming plan. And that is the premises for Senate File 133. So 133 just does the following. It makes appropriation of $37,500 from the general funds to the game and fish, and this is to be held in reserve in case this District 4 moves ahead and files on this particular allotment. If it never happens, this simply sits there and reverts back to the general fund and nothing occurs. But until they adopt and okay the Wyoming plan, this is simply a stopgap to make sure that nothing happens in that particular area. And that's just kind of the brief general description of this bill.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And adding to that, there's a second or let's see, what have I got here? A first reading amendment, committee of the whole amendment for 133 that just helps clean up this. If you look at page 2, line 6, we are adding the same language that was in the bill we just passed together with the appendices A through N as adopted by the working group. And then on line 8, it had 2000 up to 2020. We took that out and put as soon as practicable. So those are just two kind of cleanup amendments and I think help clarifying amendments.
Question on the amendment.
All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye. Opposed? Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has been adopted and back on the bill. Representative Baldwin.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. Just a quick note because I don't want to make this real long. In committee, we had a couple of gentlemen from my home district came in and testified to this. One family has been in the sheep business for over 100 years and intends on being in that business for another 100 years. If we do not do something with these sheep herds and make an effort like this on this bill, the potential for them being out of the sheep business is not only very high, it's very likely. They will be out of the sheep business if that agency, which deals with a lot of trees, goes ahead with the initiatives that they've done in the state to the west of us. Excuse me. So this is real important that we support this bill and support our agricultural industry. Thank you.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have some questions on this bill. And what are the chances of the bighorn sheep surviving if they're relocated, netted, helicoptered somewhere? I don't know how they're going to relocate them. Wouldn't it be just as easy to have a season on them, have Game of Fish open a season on them and get rid of them that way? If it's, and I'm a supporter of ag. I've been on the ag committee. We had this problem before down in south central Wyoming, and now we haven't heard anything more about that sheep herd. So $37,500, that's not a lot of money. But what is the survivability of these bighorn sheep? They're going to be relocated. What are the man hours? What is the real fiscal impact of Game of Fish to do this? In my mind, wouldn't it be easier just to have some more bighorn sheep licenses down there in that canyon?
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The bill kind of states there will be relocation or removal.
not expressing the terms on it, but just the that's the way the language is, it reads in there.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I bet you never thought you'd see me up here on an issue like this, but I can tell you from my part of the state, we are the recipients of sheep that are relocated, and the population, what we find is they somehow read maps, and they go across the border north to us, and so we keep relocating them back where we think people would enjoy them and into what we think is a natural habitat. But the survivability is extremely high. The mobility of them also is high.
Representative Swanaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And I just want to make sure, you know, you all know what you're about to do with this bill, because we played this game 2 years ago with an effing sheep herd, and we're basically playing chicken with the feds. I guess it's more like extortion. It says if you do a federal action that's going to impact the sheep and try to eliminate a grazing allotment, we're not going to allow that to really happen. If you dare try that, we're just going to move the the bighorn sheep. So if you do any action that impacts domestic sheep grazing, what the state of Wyoming is going to do in turn is take all the bighorn sheep and we're going to remove them. And we had this fight 2 years ago and I lost. But it just seems like the wrong way to do policy in the state. And maybe that's, you know, another bill that we have to do to make sure we have the Fed's attention. But it just seems like if they go through all the proper channels and the proper routes, and I, of course, hate to see any loss of sheep grazing, and I was on this task force in 2004. On this working group representing one of our state agencies, and I do understand the problem, and it isn't right that if you look at the 70-year nature of this state, you know, we lose sheep AUMs. We used to be one of the preeminent sheep states in the entire country, and I mean, I think we're like 15% of what we were even 70 years ago, and so it's one of those, in my heart, I kind of feel, you know, it isn't fair of the feds to keep doing this to the state. But as a policy matter, I don't think it's right that we keep doing this and playing this game, which, I mean, basically is just, if you do this, we're going to take out the bighorn sheep. But there is a policy in this body. We've done it before. And so I just wanted to make sure the other side of the discussion is being heard and that we're adequately representing the conversation of what we're really going to, you know, say we're going to do here. And we haven't had to do it with the other herd that I know of. And I don't think we're going to have to do it here. I just don't personally like issue statements like this one that we make on behalf of the people of Wyoming to play this game that we're playing.
Representative Freeman.
Just to respond and to give some information to the body, this working group that's been going on for 14 years has put together a plan, and it has categorized different sheep herds, bighorn sheep herds. They have the indigenous, I guess, herds where that they've always been there, that everyone is committed to make sure that those sheep herds remained intact and managed. And then we have these other herds, and what they have done is they've been introduced, and everybody hopes for the best, because frankly I get very excited, even though that I'm not in my teens anymore, when I come around the bend and there's some bighorn sheep and sometimes the transplants work and sometimes they don't. But Wyoming is heads above everybody else by getting everyone together, by evaluating each one of the herds, by putting policies together to where that we ensure both the domestic and the bighorn sheep population. They've done adjustments on allotments during these 14 years, and the previous speaker was absolutely right. What we're doing is we're playing the cup game, because what has happened is people outside of our state are coming and forcing an issue that they don't understand that we have taken care of. I think that this bill is essential to where that we maintain it. This isn't a large herd. It's 19 animals is what I remember out of
out of committee. It's also been replaced at least twice, and if you talk to other people, they're talking three or four times. We don't want to jeopardize 14 years of work by very diverse groups, by somebody else coming in and screwing with our Nirvana for anything else to say.
Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This bill wouldn't be necessary if it weren't for the overreach of the federal government. In the location where I live, that's probably designated as the Grand, used to be at one point in time, there was a Grand encampment there. We had a situation a couple of years ago that really jeopardized our sheep industry in our area. We had a similar legislation. All I can tell you is, if this is a bluff, it worked.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and for the bill, we heard this in committee, and let me just put this in perspective for you. We're talking about 13 head of bighorn sheep versus 82,000 head of domestic sheep that this could potentially impact. And any time that you have good working folks come into a committee meeting needing our help to interpose in between us and the federal government and their livelihood, I say we need to do it. So I would appreciate your support of this bill. Thank you.
Chairman McKim.
Let me just answer just one more question. I think most of your questions have already been answered. This is a non-emphasis area, has been stated. That means it receives the least priority in bighorn sheep management. And let me read exactly what it says. It says, any existing bighorn sheep population will not be protected at the expense of domestic sheep grazing. That is from the Wyoming plan, the projected plan here. That is not the one that District 4 goes by. And that's why this bill is necessary. Question on the bill.
The question having been called on Senate File 133, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Senate File 133 has passed Committee of the Whole.
Madam Chairman.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Opposed? The motion carries. The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report. No? Oh, sorry. I really didn't want your job.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave report as follows. Senate File 132, recommended do pass. Representative Berger moved that the House rise and sit again. Senate File 130, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 47, recommended do pass. Senate File 95, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 124, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 100, recommended do pass. Senate File 11, recommended do pass. Senate File 134, recommended do pass. Senate File 133, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Dayton, Chairman.
Representative Dayton.
I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Congratulations, Representative Dayton. Okay.
is it starting to get in the rhythm? Ladies and gentlemen, these two bills today reminded me of something, and I just want to have about a 90-second, a little law class here, because someday somebody who's in here will be an old salt, and maybe you'll remember this. In 1998, the Management Council got in a lawsuit with the governor, and here was the issue. There was a bill that had an appropriation in it. And the governor, based on the Constitution, said, if there's an appropriation in that bill, then I can line item anything in the bill, line item veto anything in the bill, money or substantive. In other words, the dollars or otherwise. And the Supreme Court upheld that contention, that the governor could. So someday, and this just reminded me, these two bills were closer, not quite, but someday you might have a situation where you want to insulate yourself against that, so you run two bills. And in one bill, you put the substantive portions, and in the other bill, you put the appropriation. And if the substantive portion and the appropriation are both in the bill, the governor can line item veto in there, and it's amazing what a guy can do when he starts line item vetoing in terms of changing the bill. But if you run two bills, he can veto them straight up or down, but he can't line item veto and mess around with them. So it's just something, someday somebody in here will be an old salt, and that comes up once in a while, so it's just a good lesson to know. Okay, now we're going to do the adoption of some joint conference committee reports. The first Joint Conference Committee report we have for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report 1 on House Bill 17. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 257 to House Bill 17 and ask for your aye vote. We had a interesting meeting with the gentleman from the other side. They were quite awake for this. And we managed to come to a compromise. What we've done with the sexual assault protection orders is we've left the stalking part at 1 year, which is current law, and we increased the sexual assault order of protection from 3 months to 6 months. So that's the compromise we came up with. This makes it a more acceptable bill, and I ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 17. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker, Baldwin, Barlow, Berger, Blackburn, Flake, Burkhart, Byrd, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, excused, Paxton, Pelkey, Petrov, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Kasparic, excused, Crone, excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 1 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 17. The next report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 154, Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 154 and ask for your aye vote. The House bill position on this had been that it allowed for 53 any type of antelope licenses for the nonprofits to distribute to disabled hunters with the money recouped from the general fund account by the Game and Fish. The West End amendment to our bill had changed the locations, the timing, and allowed for only the hunting of does and fawns, and had wrecked up the bill. So the compromise position eliminates the amendment restrictions that had been proposed. Instead, it calls for the nonprofits to pay in-state fees for the itty antelope licenses, whether the recipients are in or out of state. And it also allows Game and Fish to recoup the difference from the recoupment fund in the auditor's office if they turn out to be out-of-state hunters who utilize the licenses. So again, if you like the bill in the first place, this allows the program to continue. If you didn't like it, it at least mitigates the damage to the general fund to some extent. So I think it's a favorable compromise, and again, I ask you to adopt the report.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 154. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Baldwin. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Campbell. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Esquivel. Freeman. Aye. Gay. Aye. Greer. Aye. Halverson. Aye. Harshman. Aye. Harvey. Aye. Hunt. Aye. Yagi. Aye. Jennings. Aye. Kasparic excused. Kirkbride. Aye. Croker. Aye. Crone. Yes. Excused. Larson Lloyd. Aye. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm. Aye. Lockhart. Aye. Laux. Aye. Madden. No. McKim. Aye. Miller. Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton, excused, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pennell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson, Throne, Walters, Wilson, Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 1 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 154. The next Joint Conference report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 46, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File Number 46 and ask for your favorable consideration. This was, we have kind of monkeyed around with the bill and fine-tuned it and changed it a bit for several years concerning fires and open ground. And the House tried to amend, put in an amendment that the Senate felt substantially changed the bill. It was in a different statute. It got done what we wanted to do in a House bill that we had passed earlier, but they found quite a bit of objection to it, and we would rather that this Senate File 46 is a useful bill and it should pass. We'd rather not jeopardize it, and I would ask for your favorable aye vote on the committee outcome. Thank you.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 46. I'm sorry, Senate File 46. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings. Kasparik, excused. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone, excused. Larson Loy.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Piperinen. Aye.
Pennell. Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters, excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee number 1 on Senate File 46. Conference Committee on House Bill 11. Northrup, Chair, Burkhart, and Freeman. Conference Committee on House Bill 38. Zwanitzer Dan, Chair, Stubson, and Lindholm. Conference Committee on House Bill 180, Crone, Chair, Halverson, and Schwartz. Conference Committee on House Bill 214, Brown, Speaker, Chair, Stubson, and Steinmetz. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 354, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 31, exemption water utilities. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the votes indicated. Ayes 29, no 0, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 355. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 76, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program Amendments, ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 356. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 93, Public Service Commission Authority, ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 357, concurrence requested. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 100, Highway Funding. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, which was ayes 29, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 358. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 152, Industrial Siding Impact Payments, ayes 29, excused 1. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 359. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 160, Special Warranty Deeds. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 360. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 161, Retirement Account Exemption from Execution. Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 361, concurrence requested on House Bill 174, Nicotine Products Regulation. It was ayes 27, noes 2, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 362. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on the third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 181, speeding penalties in 80-mile-per-hour zones, ayes 27, two noes, one excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 363. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 193, veteran burial teams. Ayes 29, one excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 364. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 138, workers' compensation for special education teachers. Ayes 22, noes 7, one excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 99, engrossed Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Dan Zwanzer, signed by Representative Dan Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 116, Legislature Compensation, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanzer, one no, Representative Jennings, signed by Representative Dan Zwanzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 136, engrossed expedited EMT licensing, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Dan Zwanzer, a no vote, Representative Edwards, signed by Representative Dan Zwanzer, Chairman.
Pre-referrals. Chairman Zwanzer, Dan. You have a re-referral? Rumor has it that you do. How about Senate File 116? No joy. Okay. All right. We're now at that most exciting time of reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 65. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act Number 65 from House Bill 22, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 65, being original House Bill 22. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 66.
Enrolled Act Number 66 from House Bill 23, an act relating to next generation science standards.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 66, being original House Bill 23. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 26, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 26, Senate, from original files 43, an act relating to telecommunications.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 26, Senate, being original Senate File 43. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 27.
Enrolled Act Number 27, Senate, from original Senate File 59, an act relating to Wyoming Public Television.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 27, being original Senate, 27th Senate being original, Senate File 59. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 28, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 28, Senate, from original Senate File 65, an act relating to banking.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 28, being original. Enrolled Act Number 28, Senate, being original Senate File 65. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 29, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 29, Senate, from original Senate File 82, an act relating to Funeral Service Practitioners Act.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 29, Senate, being original Senate File 82. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 30, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 30, Senate, from original Senate File 97, an act relating to telecommunications.
About to sign Enrolled Act Number 30, Senate, being original Senate File 97. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 31, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 31, Senate, from original Senate File 29, an act relating to motor vehicles.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 31, Senate, being original Senate File 29. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 32, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 32, Senate, from original Senate File 17, an act relating to public works and contracts.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 32, Senate, being original Senate File 17. I have so signed. The next act for consideration is Enrolled Act Number 33, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 33, Senate, from original Senate File 42, an act relating to the administration of government.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 33, Senate, being original Senate File 42. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 34, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 34, Senate, from original Senate File 111, an act relating to the Wyoming Probate Code.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 34, Senate, being original Senate File 111. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 35, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 35, Senate, from original Senate File 120, an act relating to the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 35, Senate, being original Senate File 120. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 36, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 36, Senate, from original Senate File 84, an act relating to geologic sequestration.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 36, Senate, being original Senate File 84. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 37, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 37, Senate, from original Senate File 54, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 37, being original Senate File 54. I have so signed. Committee announcements. Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number one will meet upon noon recess tomorrow in room H8 to consider interim topics. And also, I want to announce the conference committee for Senate File 12, which is tomorrow at 1 p.m. in room H8.
Chairman Zwanister, Dan.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Election, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday at 9 a.m. in H18 for a House conversation on interim topics, and we will meet with our Senate counterparts at 12:30 p.m. on Monday in S19 for a full discussion among the entire committee number 7.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet as soon as you can get up there in H17 for interim topics.
Vice Chairman Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Labor number 10, will meet Friday, February 27th at 10 minutes afternoon recess to consider Senate File 3, Right to Try, after which we will consider interim topics for next year. And, Mr. Chairman, your committee number 9, Minerals, will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to consider in room H18 to consider interim topics, and again on Monday, March 2nd at noon recess to meet with the Senate to in room H17 to consider interim topics. And Mr. Chairman, your Select Committee on Tribal Affairs will meet on Monday with their Senate counterparts in room S19 upon adjournment to discuss 2015 interim topics.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Conference Committee on Senate File 81 will meet Monday, March 2nd at 9 a.m. in SF14, and Committee 99 at 5:30 at the Holiday Inn Taco Party. Bring your sombreros and mariachis.
Vice Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Monday upon adjournment to discuss interim subjects with our counterparts across the way. Thank you.
Madam Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your general file for consideration tomorrow, February 27th, is as follows. Senate File 50, 24, 118, 88, 99, 144, 55, 51, 57, 138, 121, 136, 99, 85, 74, 145, 56, 80, and 126. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until February 27th at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.